along in the announcements with me? It probably would be good because attendance is a lot. Okay, Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. in Mickey's room, we have a Bible study. Wednesday at 6:30 till 7 is prayer, and then from 7 to 8 is Bible study, also in Mickey's room. It says in your bulletin Thursday choir practice, but really it's not. Thursday the 24th is going to be our candlelight service.
That is kind of like choir practice, though.
Well, that's true. We'll do the lot singing. Bring your Christmas cards for members of the church and place them in the box up in the front. Actually, we're placing them in the bucket, but that's okay. If you have gift cards to restaurants, supermarkets, sporting goods shops, and you're not using them, consider donating them to the Deacon's Fund. We can give them out for Christmas gifts. Are there any other announcements? Yes.
The poinsettia orders, I don't know where there are any blank order forms, however.
On the desk in the back. No. On the desk in the back in the office.
Oh, that way.
That desk, that back.
That back.
Come on, catch up, you
need another coffee?
So anyway, you don't have to pay today, but the order has to be in today because we have to call it in tomorrow. So please do at least make your order and you can pay us later.
Points out of forms. We got points out of forms. I'm going to put them in this back here.
Okay, back.
And we do have one other announcement.
We're $250 for provision for
$150.
Yes, so we're halfway to our goal.
And the second announcement is, it's Brother Joel's birthday. Stickers that say Merry Christmas, I celebrate my Savior's birth. Wow. Anyone who would like them, see Gail, she's got them.
Wow. And it's politically correct.
Yes. Yes? You would like one? Okay. Taylor, did you have an announcement? Or do you want a sticker? She wants a sticker in the back. I feel like an auction. Okay. Any other announcements? All right, let's move on to prayer requests unless you have something.
Yeah, I've got an announcement. Everybody looks for a Christmas miracle along the way. Notice how nice and warm it is in here today? We have been battling with the furnace, and I think I've discovered that the furnace probably was the first furnace that was ever put in this church. And the burner in there, I probably think, is the first burner that was ever put in there. You know, Nate had looked at it before and said, boy, that's really old. And so this year we changed oil companies because the company that we had was bought out. So I thought I'd be smart and hire a for real furnace guy to come and look at the furnace. And he came and tuned it up and it didn't run. And he came back to try to fix it, and I came in yesterday, and it was bad, very cold in here, and I called him, and the owner of the company said, Gary, I was going to call you that burner's really shot. He said, I'm going to send my technician out, and we'll figure out how to get heat in it. Meanwhile, one of my neighbors had said to me a few weeks ago, Gary, I'm putting in a new furnace because my furnace itself cracked. But he said, I know looking at your furnace at the church, you need a burner, and my burner's pretty new. So while the furnace guy was coming, I called him and said, hey, Josh, did you get your new furnace? And he said, yeah. He said, I've got the burner right here. Do you need it? And I said, yeah, if you could bring it up. He said, Gary, I was going to swap it for you, but the collar looks rusted. And he said, I really didn't know if I was going to have to drill and tap everything out. I said, well, the furnace guy's coming. He goes, he'll have all the tools. Long story short, 45 minutes later, we have a new burner.
Wow.
that the tech, that the technician says is a wonderful new burner that'll last us a lot of years, and it cost us zero.
Amen. That's a hot announcement right there.
Our neighbor is also celebrating a Christmas miracle. He went to the hospital a couple months ago, and they said, your time is up. You know, say goodbye. You're going to call your family and that kind of stuff. And he came home yesterday.
Amen.
Okay, prayer requests. We have got prayers for Oren Merrill's family, who's gone home to be with God. Oren's memorial service will be here January 7th at 10 a.m. Prayers for Bob and Judy, for Alma and Charlie, and all those that are battling Parkinson's. Continued prayers for baby Luke. Any more word?
No, baby Luke is there. He's in the hospital, and they're doing some, you know, additional work with him. Laura, chemotherapy. So, you know, he just needs, you know, continue the prayers. We've sent the cards. If there's more baby Luke cards here, we'll send those cards to the family as a sign of support. But, you know, right now they're just trying a variety of different things to try and bring his blood back in compliance again.
Okay, continue to, Alexis, how is your leg doing? You have a chip. We're going to keep praying for Alexis, who chipped her knee. I'll pray for all of our other children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren that need healing, for the doctors and nurses to treat them, for Barbara's friend, Mandy Hudson, who's battling ALS. Continued prayers for Roger Purboy, Franco, the Reverend Bob Wellner, as they all battle cancer, and for Priscilla Barney. Yes.
Her friend Linda Shaver, she's a truck driver. She's having some heart problems. She was admitted to the hospital in Michigan.
Linda Shaver. Anyone else? Yes.
So our friend Jamie Farley, she's had a second heart attack in a week. I took her last night.
What was Linda's last name?
Shaver.
Anyone else? Yes.
Her daughter's best friend, Mandy Hudson.
Oh, we just prayed for her.
They're saying that she may not make it New Year's.
Oh, my goodness.
She's only 25. And Audrey was over there yesterday. She brushed her teeth for her, and she has beaded tubes, so she would have better. And it's very, very sad. So, you know, like everybody else,
how's David doing?
David's still recovering. He had a descending valve in the back of his heart, a vessel in the back of his heart split. And he promised to bleed in 95% damage. But he's in good hands, and it's time. Prayers. He's got a shield around him like you would believe in all these prayers.
All right.
Thank you so much. Any other prayer requests?
Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Good to be gathered here in God's house with the bright sunlight. No snow. What a great Christmas. A beautiful thing.
Amen, brother.
And we're here to talk about joy. Yeah. We're here to talk about joy. Joel celebrated his birthday yesterday being joyful shopping. He texted me and that he said he was off shopping, and I said, that's a hang of a way to spend a birthday. But when you think about joy, you know, the Bible's all about joy. The Bible tells us to be Christ-like. The Bible tells us to be loving and forgiving. You know, the Bible mentions joy over 330 times, but it only mentions happiness 26 times, because you don't necessarily have to be happy to be joyful. Some of the most joyful people I know are in the midst of large firefights in their lives, and they're still joyful. You can be joyful despite. And what happens is, in life, we're always surrounded by what I call fun suckers. You can be at an event and there is a person or people there that are there to suck the fun right out of that thing. And around Christmas, we're filled with fun suckers. We're out there trying to do Christmas shopping and we're baking cookies. And go to Faith and Bucks. They got lots of cookies at Faith and Bucks.
Amen.
And they had a lot of joy making cookies. They had so much joy they forgot to put the peanut butter in the peanut butter cookies. They forgot to put flour in some of the other cookies. They kind of look like pancake batter. But there's a lot of joy in those cookies. So I'm determined today that if you are not filled with the joy of Jesus, and then you're not filled with a upright, highly motivated, high-speed, low-drag, Teflon-coated, high-intensity attitude, that by the time you're done here, you will be highly motivated.
Amen.
So if you would rise for the call to worship, Howard White and Keller, come on up front.
I didn't do it. Honestly, I didn't do it.
They will help lead us in our first joyful part of the service. Yep, you get right up front. Keller's got all the motions down.
You ready?
Take a look up there.
You're ready to go.
As soon as that gets in play.
Yeah. Probably better.
Yeah,
Tom.
Haley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good, come on up, Haley.
Down in my heart to stay, and I'm so happy. So
come on.
Take your brother.
Come on. Anybody else? Any of the other kids that know that's right.
I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart.
Join with me in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity of gathering together. We thank you to be gathering together not just here with one another, but linked with like-minded Christians all across the world that are celebrating the joy of Jesus in their lives. We thank you and praise you, Father, for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Right now, this day is the only day that we have. We're not sure that we're going to have tomorrow, but we've got this day. And for this day, Lord, we are thankful that we will be joyful. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for the nation that allows us to assemble openly and freely. We're thankful, Father, for all the blessings in our lives. The blessing of being able to get up this morning and come here and share in this service. And now, Father, as we prepare for worship, as we lock into our pews to be recharged, lifted up and motivated, and be more than we ever thought we could be, we gather together in the prayer that your son Jesus taught us when he said, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
out of Midnight Clear.
I've got one.
It's 170. I'm at 170.
Scripture, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 19. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone upon them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The interpretation, the angels announce the birth of Jesus and cannot hold back any longer. They must give praise, honor, and glory to God. So they burst out with an awesome spiritual experience that convinces the shepherds that they mean business. The shepherds clearly are overwhelmed by their angelic experience yet they only experience just a taste of the glory of Jesus Christ. One day we shall all stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and experience his full glory. Our response will be like that of the angels. We will fall down and worship, acknowledging the glory of Jesus for what it is. Awesome. A prayer. Lord Jesus, to you be the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. For you have created all things, and through you all things have their being. We worship your holy name, the name that is the essence of glory. May your honor and glory increase, and your dominion be without end. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lenny Keith. Ushers are going to come forward and receive an offering. And it's interesting this time of year. We're blessed. I have folks that come up that aren't members of our congregation that are community folks, and they'll stop by and they'll say, "Hey, Pastor, God's given me a good year. I kind of like to share from the abundance that they've given me," and folks will give me money to reinvest in the people that have needs. And I always appreciate that. It's always a nice thing for them to do. But I always think about the folks that are here, that are God's warriors, that reinvest on a daily basis into people that have needs. They reinvest in phone calls and texts. This past week when Orrin passed away, and we were handling his affairs and doing some things like that, I got an awful lot of texts and an awful lot of phone calls from people that just wanted to know if I was okay. Howard stopped on his way home. So I didn't want anything. I just wanted to stop and say hello and make sure you were okay. That's an offering that you can't put a price tag on. That type of, call, concern, text message, people that check in on you and just say, "Hey, how you doing?" Rich and I were part of an honor guard this week for Bill Towns's memorial service, and people would come through and they would say, "It's nice of you guys to be here." And Rich and I were visiting, and we appreciate the folks saying thank you for us coming, but it's an honor to be there. It's an honor to be there. It's a gift that you give of respect for that person. The offerings that you give here help support the ministry, help support the work that we do here, help us to do more outreach. The gift that you give every day of caring and watching out and working with each other is the gift that Jesus gives us at Christmas. That is the gift that Jesus gave us at Easter. The gift of sharing the message of eternal salvation, of a Lord that walks with you, that talks with you, that lifts you up and carries you when you can't walk yourself. That's a gift you can give. And you know what? The more you give it away, the more you get.
Amen.
The more you give it away, the more you get. You just can't outgive God.
Amen.
We were talking about this morning with the furnace, and the gentleman that gave us the furnace and for the church, and the technician that came up, I invited him to candlelight service. He lives over in Munson. I said, "Good, now that I know you're local, I won't feel so bad about calling you." But there are gifts daily that y'all give one another, that you all give to me and my family, the prayer requests that go out during the week, the emails that I send out come back 14 times over. People will, people that are on my email list, if you've noticed, you'd see emails on there that you don't recognize. Once you're on my email list, you're stuck with me forever.
Amen.
I send them out and they go to California and Alaska and they go down south and out west, and other churches jump on and pray. There's power. There's power in giving. So when you give to the offering here today, share from your abundance. But share from your abundance every day, because that's what makes the difference. The ushers will receive the morning offering.
Mary, did you know Someday you'll walk on water. Mary, did you know it's your baby boy who'll save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? That this child that you will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your
before you, and we are so blessed and so joyful that we can share from the abundance you've provided, that we can come together and raise you up, Lord, and share in this glorious season where we celebrate your birth, that we can celebrate, Lord, and tell everybody the story of Christmas and Jesus's birth. We ask, Father, that you bless these gifts as well as the giver, that you lift them up, Lord, and help to multiply, magnify them, utilize them in your service, Lord. That you help us to go places and do things that we did not think were possible. That you take us outside our comfort area and serve all those who have not heard the voice, that have not heard your message of hope and salvation. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, Kelly, come on back. Hey, Taylor. You know Kelly? You know Kelly, right?
Yes, you do. Here.
A long time ago, Kelly used to do the offering, and she was just about your size and came up and down to do offerings with her grandma. So no telling, another few years, you could be up front here singing away just like Kelly.
Y'all need to see.
And now it's time for all the children to come down front and join with Mrs. Kitty.
It's Kimmy time.
Smart. Yes. There's all sorts of things that you can learn about Jesus from a candy cane.
And if you turn it the right way up, it looks like a shepherd's hook.
Absolutely. When Jesus was older, he talked about that he was a good shepherd. Anybody know what a shepherd does?
It keeps the sheep away from the wolves so they don't get attacked.
Yep. What else does a shepherd do? They herd the sheep. Why would they herd them?
So that they're all together.
So they stay together. What else does a shepherd
do? So they don't get lost.
So they don't get lost. Anything else? Well, shepherds also make sure
they
stay together. So wolves won't get them if they're together. The chances of a wolf getting them are pretty slim. Plus, if the shepherd keeps a good eye on them, so if they start getting sick, the shepherd's going to be right there to take care of them.
Shepherds are nice.
They are nice.
Yeah.
And you ever see pictures of a shepherd? He has a big long staff and he kind of holds it like this. Well, he's
yeah.
down to the ground, right?
Yeah.
When they take their sheep all around the place, do they just take them a nice flat ground like this? No. Mountains and over rocks and stuff. The staff helps them to not fall. This reminds us, too, that if we hold on to Jesus and we're having trouble, and we ask Jesus, I just removed you to help me through this. We're less likely to stumble in our faith. We're less likely to say, you know what, I don't even believe in God anymore. If we're holding on to Jesus, we're probably not going to do that, right? And there's something else about the candy cane we can learn about Jesus. It kind of looks like the colors twisted all wrapped around it, right? When Jesus was a baby, his mother wrapped him to keep him nice and warm. And then the red stripes around, this is the sad part. Remember what we talked about a couple weeks ago? Jesus, when he grew up, he became a man, and he died so that we wouldn't have to pay the price for our sins. He got whipped.
Yeah.
And there were marks on his back. Do you remember that?
No.
Well, if you can wait just 1 minute, and I'll have you show me, okay? Okay. He got whipped because he didn't do anything wrong, but Jesus knew that we do things wrong all the time. And there's a penalty, there's a punishment. And the punishment was death. And Jesus said, I'm going to let you guys punish me so that nobody here will ever have to be punished in hell when you die. You do something wrong here, you get punished on that. But this was so that we wouldn't have to die, we wouldn't have to suffer in hell. So, next time you see a candy cane, you're going to think of who?
Jesus.
Okay, now look the other way. That's what you're going to tell me?
Yeah.
Okay.
I tell
you. So I have candy canes in here. I have little bags of candy canes. Now, the other thing we think about with red and white at Christmas, what else do you think about when you think red and the white at Christmas time?
Santa Claus.
Oops. Got it. Yes. Santa Claus. But it's not what Christmas really is about.
No, it's about
Jesus, right?
It's about
so we have this little window thingy thing for everybody.
Window thingy thing.
Yep, it sticks on your window.
I have.
And I'm going to stick it on this just to show you how it works. So you can remember that Christmas is about Jesus. There's two candy canes in here for everybody. One is for you. One is to share with a friend. And the story about the candy cane, so that you can share it with people, are in here too. I'm going to give these to you on your way out to Mrs. Jennings' class. But right now, we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you gave us your son Jesus, and thank you, Father, that you gave us reminders all over the place to help us to remind us that Christmas is all about your son, and that he came to save us. Lord, I ask you to help us to remember that and help us to share it with other people. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Follow me. I'm going to take a photo. I think I have anything to do.
you'll remind them all that they're sticking around.
If for parents, we'd like to have the kids stay after just for about 10 minutes to practice for Christmas Eve singing. Okay, and we do have a box for Vert World Vision for the kids, so, and plenty, plenty of money.
And for candlelight service, any of you that want to sing, get in touch with me. If you have a guitar and you want to play, that's fine. If you have no guitar and you want accompaniment, that's fine. If you want to sing a cappella, that's fine. If you play the organ and play the piano and you want to play, that's fine. That would be the time. Candlelight is a praise and worship service. It's a service where we come and we sing all the traditional hymns that you grew up with. It's a time where you can come. It starts at 7. We're generally done by 8. And it gives you an opportunity to get away from the hustle and bustle of Christmas and still get home in time to finish assembling things that need assembling and cooking things that need to be cooked. We'll continue service with 164, Silent Night, Holy Night, first and last verses.
Reading, but it's one of the my favorites, so I think it's worth it. Luke 2, verses 7 through 20. It's on page 58 of your pew Bibles, if you'd like to follow along with me. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This has been a reading of our Lord's holy word.
Thank you, Jennifer. Bow with me in prayer. Father, we come now. We come and we gather together. We ask that you come and you put your hands on each person's shoulders. That you lift us up, that you open our hearts and minds, that you surround us with angels, that this message will be a message that's special for each person. Well, we know, Lord, the message that I'm about to deliver will be your message, but the Holy Spirit will create a message for each person. We ask, Father, that their minds and hearts would be open, that they would not be distracted, that they would hear the message today that you have in mind for them. For this message could be a game changer. This message could be a message you've been trying to get folks to hear for their whole life. We ask, Lord, that you would give them the ability to hear. Not only to hear, but to react to the message positively and accept whatever challenge you have in mind for them. For each day they were given opportunities, we ask, Father, that you would help them to maximize the opportunity that you're about to share, that you lift them up and make them more than they ever thought they could be. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I use that scripture for the last few weeks because it fits every message that I'm going to talk about. I bring you greetings of great joy. I bring you greetings of great joy. I bring you the peace that passes all understanding. It's a message you can give every day. God gives you the opportunity. But sometimes we get involved with stinking thinking. We get involved with the joy suckers coming and sucking the joy out of our lives. And in the bottom of your bulletin, I put down a verse from Proverbs with a quote that suits pretty much everybody, including me some days. Proverbs 17:2, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps that person's strength. And that's what happens when stinking thinking shows up and you wake up and you got a little hitch in your giddy up and the I cannot shows up. And then there's other folks that wake up with that little hitch in their giddy up and they go, thank God I've got that pain. That means I'm alive. And they get up and they go ahead. And some of you folks need to take and lead the bottom. Some of you folks need to go back and have a good belly laugh. You need to have the opportunity to sit back, relax, and laugh. Laugh out loud and laugh for a while so that you need to realize that that's the only way God's going to fix your broken spirit, because you are blessed and blessed mightily. The joy is real joy. Jack and I had a conversation yesterday, and Jack didn't know it was going to be in the service today. Jack was hunting. He was all dressed and ready to go hunting. He's been out hunting. And he stopped and gave me a hand to look at some stuff and talk about life in general. And Jack said, you know, I keep learning as I go along. I like to hunt. I hunted when I was a kid. He said, but I came in and told Trish, it's a good thing we don't have to survive on what I'm getting hunting. We'd starve to death. You don't realize how blessed you are. You folks think, you know, some days you think, I don't feel so good. I might have a hard time paying my bills. We were visiting in Bible study this morning. Joel goes to India. In India, every day, they're looking for a handful of rice. They're looking for a handful of rice. When you read the scriptures and the shepherds were in the field and they were excited, it's because that if every day they did not have a profitable day, they didn't eat. If they did not carry their tents and gear with them and the storm came, they were wet and they were cold, because every day was a struggle to survive. I don't know about all y'all, you may have a tough time buying that new doll that your granddaughter or daughter wants. But I don't think, just looking at us, I don't think anybody's starving now. I don't think anybody's got you know, just one suit of clothes to wear. Now, a lot of times, I'd serve with folks in the military. And I served with a guy named Lee Parks. You could ask Leon about him. Lee was a good old boy from the hills of Appalachia.
Yeah.
And Lee came down and he joined the Army, and he said, and Lee would tell the story to the kids that he would recruit. He'd say, I joined Uncle Sam's Army. That was the first new pair of shoes I ever had in my life. I never had shoes. If I had them, we couldn't wear them. We had to lug them around to make them last so that we could wear them to church on Sunday. Then you had to keep them good because your little brother and little sister were going to get that pair of shoes. You should be joyful. You should be joyful. And what happens when you're not joyful is you drive folks out of the church. Because you walk around and you say, I am a Christian. I've got the joy of Jesus in my heart. And you look like you just ate a thing of bad medicine. Pickles. No, I like pickles. I couldn't use that. Oliver Wendell Holmes was the Chief Justice. And one of his quotes that struck me is he said, I probably would have gone into the ministry. I probably would have gone into the ministry, but I couldn't find anybody that was happy there. When you don't share the love and light of Jesus Christ, and you don't have a smile, and you don't bring the joy, you need to fake it till you make it. You need to act like you've just won the lottery 24/7, 365, and then you'll begin to believe it yourself. I've told you the story. I am not designed to be stuck in an office. Uncle Sam sent me down to the Military Processing Center, took away my recruiting team, and said, hey, Master Sergeant, we need you to work in this office and make sure the process goes well because we need you to make sure the operation is tight. And I'm like, oh. Oh, you know, showing up at the same place every day of the week and doing the same stuff is not what God designed me for. But I went. And so I decided along the way that we needed to have a little fun. Because they didn't know how to have fun. And they transferred me right around the November-December time frame. So I brought in my boombox. And the guy I was hanging out with, he's a good guy, and he and I are still friends. But he really has to look up fun every day in the book to make sure you've got that definition going on. So I came in and I discovered they had an intercom system. So every morning I came in early with the medical folks and I'd get my boombox and I'd play Grandma Got Run Over by the Reindeer. I was determined they were going to be joyful. They were going to be joyful while they were there or they were going to be joyful when they left, but they was going to be joyful. And then I thought to myself, I really hate this job. Well, let's figure out something to improve it. So I'd answer the phone. Most of the time, you'd call military. Kelly, we'd call military folks. They go, Medical Section, Mass Sergeant Burley, can I help you? Call MEPS, I used to say. Morning, it's another great day at MEPS. Master Sergeant Burley, can I help you? And some of them were so stunned, they forgot why they called me. That was a good one. Other folks were taken back and but by the third or fourth phone call, I really believed that I was happy. And that's what you got to do. Some days you just got to suck it up and fake it till you make it. And you got to wish everybody. You know, folks will say I'm a good inviter. I invite folks all the time. Y'all come. And I invite them to Sunday service. I invite them to the dinners. I invite. That's what you need to be. You need to be God's gift that keeps on giving. You need to be the voice of calm, the voice of joy, the face of happiness. Because you know, if you're not, then you're just another person. You're just part of that miserable cloud that's stuck in line, that's out shopping with Joel on his birthday. I felt so bad for you. I'm not a shopper. You know, I really would have had to fake that shopping stuff.
You should have brought some cookies,
right. But this is Christmas. This is the opportunity to say, God loves you and so do I. Merry Christmas. Now, I got my pin on. Howard says, I don't have my pin with me, but I got my pin on my coat. I wore it to work all week long.
Wore it all week.
People will come out of nowhere when you got one of these little pins on. And you know, people, and I talk to folks all week long. You know, and I send out an email message to the folks that I contract with. And I tell them, you know, we finished another profitable year, another great year of having you in my camp. I want to wish you and your family a blessed and joyful and abundant Christmas and New Year's. Merry Christmas. And I said it out. I don't care if it's politically correct or not. It goes downward. I've never had anybody ever tell me they didn't want that message. You know, they may say it in their little smug politically correct groups. They may say it in their little highly educated groups. They may say it with their Sunday song, with their bridge club or whatever else, but I've never had anybody tell me, don't wish me a Merry Christmas. Don't say you're going to bless me. Don't. I've never had anybody, I'll say to folks, I'll pray for you. I've never had anybody say, no, I don't believe, don't pray for me. Never. You ever had that happen? No. But you're on Facebook a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're on Facebook, you would think, oh boy, there's people out there. If I say that, they're going to, you know, send a telephone after me. But no.
Don't lose face.
And what happens is, you got shepherds who are the least of the least that are gathered together out in the field. And the angels came. The angels came. I got to tell you, angels show up in the dangest places. If you weren't paying attention this morning, I was knelt down looking at the computer. And Hannah snuck up on me. And Hannah's always sneaking up on me. She looks for me, which is a good thing. I like her. She comes up and says, hi, Pastor Gary. I said, hi, Hannah, how are you? I'm good. That's the baby Jesus. That's the message. Amen. That's the message. That little girl knows the best. That's the baby Jesus. And then she said, I love you, Pastor Gary. I said, I love you too, Hannah. That's as simple as it gets. That's the message of Christmas. That's the message of being a Christian. That's the message that'll get you through every day of your life.
That's good news.
That's good news. Yeah. And it's good news, but doesn't wear out. Yeah. It's not like a worn out thing. You've heard it and you've heard it. It's interesting, you know, I carry what's called a Patriot Bible. And they take scripture and they cross-reference it to events. And they highlight in Luke 2:14, it says, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it's called, the quote I'm going to use is from John F. Kennedy. And the quote comes from November 23rd, 1963. And John Kennedy gave some of the most motivating speeches along the way. He talks about, we in this country, in this generation, are by destiny, rather than choice, the watchmen on the walls of the world's freedom. We ask, therefore, Father, that we be worthy of our power and responsibility, that we may exercise our strength and wisdom and restraint, and that we may achieve in our time and for all time the ancient vision of peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. That must always be our goal. For as it was written long ago, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waiteth in vain.
Right.
This day you're the watchman. This day you're the messenger. This day you can be more than you ever thought you can be by consistently, each and every moment of every day, being the voice, the love, and the light, and the positive attitude of Jesus Christ. And if you can't do it on purpose, fake it till you make it, I'll guarantee it'll just be like when I was answering the phone at MEPS. After three or four of those phone calls, I really did believe it was a great day. I've done it, you can do it, and this is a season of joy. This is a season of opportunity. So as we continue worship, we're going to start with 185, We Three Kings. We're going to roll on to 162 and 171. They're in your bulletin. And we're going to sing first and last verses with enthusiasm.
Thank you.
162, first and last, 162. The first Noel. Sunday as well. The ushers will come forward and receive the missions offering. Alrighty. I always forget the missions offering.
Are we singing and then offering, or are we offering and then singing?
We're a collection offering and we're offering a singing as well.
It's a dual.
It's a dual offering. And we're closing with 160, O Holy Night.
Soul.
Buckland. He's in the Middle East still and doing well. I have a letter from the folks that are in South America that we support that are doing very well. I'll share that information with you on next Sunday service as we go along. But now as we close this service, our real service begins. We ask, Father, for joy, unlimited, overflowing, abounding joy that we cannot contain. Help us not to miss anybody along the way as we share the joy and the light of Jesus Christ in our walk, in our talk, and our actions. Help us, Lord, to be more than just a spectator. Help us to be a participator. Help us to be a game-breaking, opportunity-seeking person that leads other folks to you and the joy and peace that you bring. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said.
Amen.
And pray for the veterans that are far off posts, because it's very difficult during Thanksgiving and Christmas to be away from your homes and be surrounded by people that want to kill you. So please pray for them. It's a very difficult time. Pray for the families that don't know what's going on.